than us, it is better for us to listen to that person, because it can be very hurting and humiliating when that person chooses to go against us. This is the case in point. We're finding out that the Philistine is going against God and one true God. And then they realize that they're just facing a formidable foe, and God cannot be defeated. So this morning's title is No Competition. There's no competition against God. Right. In chapter 4, we learned that Israel would be defeated in the one battle, and they lost 4,000 foot soldiers. So they decided they're going to bring this Ark of Covenant, Ark of God. They thought it will save us. They considered it as a lucky charm. Rub that sucker and we'll have a genie pop up from the ark, and then it will protect us. No, it is not true. Because it's not a lucky charm. Ark of Covenant is a representation of God's presence. Nothing more, nothing less. Without God, it's just a piece of wood and gold. Now, they brought this lucky charm, they called Ark of Covenant, into their battle line. Guess what happened? 30,000 people got killed, and to make the matter worse, the Ark of God, their lucky charm, has been taken away to the Palestinian camp. So they lost everything, just about, and yeah, that's where we're going to pick up the scene from chapter 5, verse 1. Verse 1. Then the Philistine took the Ark of God and brought it from the Ebenezer to the Ashdod. Ashdod is the capital, one of the capital cities of the Philistine people. When the Philistine took the Ark of God, they brought it into the temple of Dagon and set it by Dagon. What is this Dagon? Dagon. Dagon is one of the chief gods, since they are polytheist people, which means they have more than one god. They have just about any kinds of god you can possibly think of. And supposedly he is in charge of the weather, and he is in charge of fertility. This is the same god, Dagon god, that turned, they said in their own legend, this is the father of Dago, D-A-G-O. Son of Dago is Baal, B-A-A-L, which is turned out to be the for the other, the heathen people's god. So Dagon god is chief god for the Philistine, and has a funny looking head. No, not funny looking head, a funny looking shape. And he had the head of man, but body of fish. So half man, half fish. So this thing supposed to protect them from any harm. And they are gloating over this Dagon god that defeated God of Israel. They brought this Ark of God into their Dagon god temple, and they're jubilant and they're excited, and they're presenting this Ark of God as a trophy to the Dagon god. They had it sing down, and their victory is complete, victory is sweet. I'm sure they got drunk, they had a party all night, the next morning. They had a major hangover in their head, and then they opened up the temple door. And we pick up from verse 3. Now, and then when the people of Ashdod arose early in the morning, there was Dagon falling on its face to the earth before the Ark of the Lord. So they took Dagon and set it in its place. And they opened up the temple door and they looked at Dagon! What happened? And this Dagon god looking up people is from the floor. I have fallen, I cannot get up. Like an old TV commercial. Now, of course, Dagon god has mouths, but they cannot speak. He has hands, but cannot reach up. What kind of god do they have They have to pick up the God and put it back into place. How about us? What kind of God do we have that we have to take care of? Our God, our one true God, can take care of us. We don't have to take care of Him. Their God had to be taken care of by people. Do we have any so-called God in our lives that we have to take care of? We may not have an idol, but he might have a different shape, such as 56 Chevy, that shiny chrome thing. Or what about your job? Is it your God? Or is your family is your God? That's all you can think of. Anything replace one true God in our heart is God. Or it can be yourself and myself. If we so wrapped up in our own thing and forget that we are made for His pleasure, we are replacing our God with something else, then idol worship happens. Don't think that we are not doing anything like that. If we replace our God with anything other than one true God, idol worship happens. So Dagon couldn't even stand in the presence of God, so he fell into his face. Next verse. Oh, by the way, these people in chapter 4, one of the priests, Eli's son's wife, was pregnant and she was about to deliver, and she called her son Ichabod. That means glory has departed. Is it true? God's glory has departed from Israel because the ark of God was captured? Ladies and gentlemen, let's make one thing very clear. When man and woman may disgrace God's name, we can disgrace God's name. Jim Baker did, Jimmy Schweiger did, and many people did. And don't think that you and I are immune from that. We can disgrace God's name by simply saying the wrong things in the wrong place without realizing we disgrace His name. It may not be as big scandal as the Jimmy Schweiger or Jim Baker's, but we can disgrace God's name. Now, even if we do that kind of thing, God's glory remains. God's glory cannot be taken away because we do stupid things. God's glory is not affected by our own behavior. God's glory remains. Verse 4. And when they rose early the next morning, there was Dagon fallen on his face to the ground before the ark of the Lord, and the head of the Dagon and of both palms and his hands were broken off on the threshold. Only Dagon's torso was left of it. Therefore, neither the priest of Dagon nor any who come into the Dagon's house tread on the threshold of Dagon's in Ashdod to this day. Then the accident, the 2 days in a row, same kinds of problem. First day they thought, yeah, did you feel the earthquake last night? Yeah, you must be earthquake. That's why Dagon got fell. If the God cannot handle the earthquake, that's not even God. My God can make the earthquake if He wants to. All you gotta do is just stir up the little finger and then there's an earthquake. Richter scale 8 comes up. Their God cannot handle anything. So 2 days in a row there's an accident happened. That's too much for coincidence. There's no such a thing as coincidence. Just to put on the safe side story, no extra charge for you guys. Don't think that there is such a thing as a coincidence. There's none. It happens by God's schedule. Everything is happening according to His schedule. Nothing catches Him out of His apartment. He wouldn't sit at the edge of His throne and looking down and he said, Michael, look at that. I didn't see that before. He doesn't guess. He knew it way before the creation. So you will not, and I will not catch him off guard. He knew what we're going to do. So the head is cut off, his hands cut off. What does it mean? Head is a representation of the wisdom. Of course, hand is an instrument for the action. So this God, what the God is trying to tell to the Philistine people, your God don't have a brain to use, hands to use. I can chop them off anywhere I want. Showing the superiority of one true God, Israeli God. The Philistine people had a choice. Just like we have a choice when it comes to this kind of situation. They had a choice. Realize that, you know what, guys? Our Dagon God is nothing more than a piece of wood or bronze or whatever. But Israeli God is a real God. So maybe we better follow Israeli God since he's superior than ours. That can be one choice. Second choice is coming up with a religious act that prevents from believing the one true God. What did they choose? They choose to go with a religious act. Let's go back to verse 5. Therefore, neither the priest of Dagon nor the any who come into Dagon's house tread on the threshold of Dagon in Ashdod to this day. They rather go into the religious traditional to compromise their belief. Why? There's a problem. If they choose to go with the God of Israel, all of a sudden they have to change the entire lifestyle. Not only the lifestyle, their thinking. Instead of the following one true God, Almighty God, they rather believe their false God, which cannot do anything. Same thing in our lives. Especially the time of modern days, they rather believe evolution theory. I didn't say evolution fact, because there's no such a thing as evolution fact. Whenever I have a confrontation with the people who believe evolution, I have one particular line I love to use. I ask them, I have this Casio $24 watch. It's made out of microchips and rubber and some steel. Nothing fancy. Gives me time, good enough for me. If I dig the ground, stick this in the ground for 2 million years, will that become human being? Say, that's absurd. No, of course not. You said it evolved from blue to nothing, from nothing to something complicated. DNA is so complicated, scientists cannot figure it out. The human being. Second law of the thermodynamics goes from normal to chaos, from bad to worse. If you leave the things alone, what happens? Let's say you didn't clean your home for about 5 months. I tried it before in my home when I was growing up. See what happens? Something crawls out of there, doesn't it? The cake of dirt is stuck in. It means whatever you had good becomes bad. Why? The sin we caused, our ancestor Adam and Eve caused, and that remained with us. Always goes from normal to chaos, bad to worse. Never goes from bad to good. Only time it happens is when God intervenes. Without God's help, nothing goes right. So they rather believe evolution theory. They rather believe aliens. They might have show up in Area 51, even though just in case you guys have any suspicion, Area 51 has something in inside of the hangar, ask that Jack over there. It was there. There's nothing. They were to believe Steven Spielberg's story. They were to believe Star Wars story. Instead of one true God. Why? If they start to accept God's truth from the Word of God, all of a sudden, their behavior had to be changed. Their thinking had to be changed. Turn your Bible with me to John chapter 3. Some of you guys remember Joe Montana. Any of you guys remember Joe Montana, football player, quarterback?
The
Bears, yes. Joe Montana was so good, and there was another good quarterback in the San Francisco 49ers. He was not even known. Guess who that was? Steve Young. Was he good? Absolutely. He was a very good quarterback, but he was not known. Why? Because Joe Montana's shadow was so big. Nobody noticed him. Verse 19. This is the case in point. John 3:16 is so famous, John 3:19 is not even known, but it is a very important verse. It reads, "And this is condemnation, that the light has come into the world. Men love darkness rather than light, because they deeds were evil." We rather stay in darkness, we rather do the wrong things than reveal ourselves to God and into the light and do the right things in the presence of God. That's truth. Don't think that you and I will be different. Only reason why we are different is because we are seeing the things of God. Alright, let's go to the 1 Samuel chapter 5, verse 6. "But the hand of the Lord was heavy on the people of Ashdod, and he ravaged them and struck them with the tumors, underlying tumors, both Ashdod and its territory." I'm so glad that God does not bring the illustration in the Bible. This can be really embarrassing for those people. Alright, God not only destroyed the Dagon God, their God, in the Ashdod, also God struck them. Their butt. He spanked them hard. He spanked them hard with a what? Hemorrhoid. Oh. It is true. That I asked you to underline the word tumor. Some versions say swelling. That's a good translation. Actually, hemorrhoid is a swelling. And just in the very uncomfortable place. Of course, it bleed and it causes a lot of problem with the bowel too down the road. So people can lose their lives because of the problem in the internal system. Not only that, God not only spanked them on the rear end, also he sent another problem, mice, which carry germs around from one to another, one dead corpse to another. So more and more, these people realize God's hands are really heavy upon them. And verse 7, "And when the men of Ashdod saw how it was, they said, 'The ark of God of Israel must not remain with us.'" Underline, "must not remain with us. For his hand is harsh toward us in the Dagon, our God." Gee, whoop-de-doo. "Therefore, they sent together to themselves all the lords of the Philistines and said, 'What shall we do with the ark of God of Israel?' They answered, 'Let the ark of God of Israel be carried away to Gath.'" So they carried the ark of God of Israel away. Aren't you glad you don't have a neighbor like this in your hometown and around your home? "We don't like this, so give it to our neighbors." They sent away this ark of God because they rather not deal with it. In a way, that's like us. When God disciplines us, instead of turning to God and say, "I'm sorry, Lord, please forgive me," and facing the truth, somehow we think that if I just push God away, I don't have to face God. How about this? Let's say I did something wrong, or you did something wrong. We all do things wrong from time to time. Instead of coming to God and make it right with God, I say, you know what, I'm not going to go to church. Is God limiting the church? No. We cannot run away from God. David said in the song, I made a bed in the bottom of the sea, you're there. I run to the other side of the wall, you're there. There's no place to run. You know what they said? You can run, but you cannot hide. That's the presence of God. No matter where you go, you can go to the other side of the universe. God is there. Problem with, especially with the believers, once we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, guess who comes in our heart? Holy Spirit. So wherever we go, who goes? Holy Spirit. How are we going to run? We cannot run. Until we come to His presence and say, I'm sorry. God will talk to you. God will speak to you. Until you come to reason. So they think that the Philistine people, let's push the God away. If we don't see Him, He cannot reach us. Great thought. Did it work? What happened is just passed the problem to some other neighborhood. Verse 9. Now, they're passing this ark of God like a hot potato. Yeah, you catch it. So it was, after they had carried it away, and the hand of the Lord was against the city with a very great destruction. He struck the men of the city, both small and great, and tumors broke out on them. Instead of submitting to the God of Israel, they were to get rid of God. Verse 10. Therefore, they sent the ark of God to Ekron, another nice neighbor, guys. So it was as the ark of God came to Ekron, the Ekronite cried out and saying, they have brought the ark of God of Israel to us to kill us and our people. So they sent and gathered together all the lords of Philistine and said, send away the ark of God of Israel, let it go back to its own place so that it does not kill us or and our people. For there was deadly destruction throughout all the cities, and the hand of God was very heavy there. And the men who died, who did not die, was stricken with the tumors, and the cry of the city went up to heaven. It is a hot potato to them. Wherever it goes, it burns everything and destroys everything. Philistine people could repent from their gateway, turn to Him, it will stop. And as a matter of fact, they might even get the blessing from the ark of God. All we have to do is just simply come to God and repent. But we read one. Turn your Bible with me to 2 Corinthians, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. 2 Corinthians 2, 15 and 16. See, the ark of God, or the God Himself, can be blessing or can be judgment against our power. This is case in point too. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved, among those who are perishing. To the one, we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the one, to the other, aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? So, God's presence can be blessing or cursing. Depends on how we react. So let's make three applications. No programs, no substitute, no method, no religion, no psychological thing can replace God. What does it mean? there's no other God who can do what God can do. And there is no way, no program can fulfill our heart like a God can. We might be able to buy nice tranquil area and build a home, have a tranquility for a while. We might be able to buy that nice place, but we do not have a peace. We might be able to buy clergymen, but we cannot buy faith. We might be able to buy a home, or buy a house, but we cannot have a home. We might be able to hang along with the people, with the money. You know, when you have a lot of money, you will have a lot of friends. Amen. But you cannot have a love of God. No love of people. True love. So no programs, no nothing can replace God. Unless we come to God, simply asking Him to come to our prayer in our heart. Number two, God cannot be pushed away. Just because we can push the Bible away from our sight, just because we can stay away from the church, that doesn't mean God cannot reach us. God can reach us from any direction, anywhere, anytime. It's better to come to His presence and deal with our sin. Number three. Coming to church to do your Sunday morning duty won't please God. I hope none of you came here to do your Sunday morning duty. If you did, I'm going to ask you this, don't come. Because when you come to this Calvary Chapel, you will hear the word of God in broken English. But still, you will hear the word of God. Uncompromising word of God. Now, it's your choice. You can follow the word of God and obey and glorify Him, or disobey and bring disaster and curse to yourself. Word of God can be a blessing, can be cursing. Depends on how we become obedient or disobedient. Your choice is my choice. As I said before, if you're coming in here to do your Sunday morning duty, you are not pleasing anyone except yourself. And as a matter of fact, you hear the word of God, you don't do it, it's a curse. You. So don't come. And some of you might say, well, if that's the case, you won't have a whole lot. Well, I didn't have a whole lot to begin with, so I don't worry about it. It's not my job to grow the church. It's God's job to grow the church. It's my job to speak before the truth. Don't do this anymore with you. Come here to hear from Him, not from man. So let's go back to application one more time. Nothing can replace God. Number two, God cannot be pushed away. Number three, don't do something wrong. You come to please Him, not please yourself. And step into prayer. Heavenly Father, truth is always hard to bear, always hard to swallow. But your truth becomes a blessing if we follow. Help us obey you because we are made for your pleasure. While your head's bowed, I'm going to ask you this. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, tonight, this morning is the day.